Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in 1 Corinthians to chapter 2. We have come to a short section here. We're going to begin at verse 6 and read down through verse 9. Hear now the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen. This is God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
What we've seen so far in 1 Corinthians, as we looked at chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2, might lead you to the false impression that Paul doesn't think wisdom is worth very much. That's not at all what he's saying. He's not saying, I want Christians to be ignorant. He's not saying, I want you to just ignore everything. Paul has a good education. Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Paul was an educated man, but he is making a distinction here in terms of the type of wisdom that we need to seek after as opposed to the type of wisdom that's found in the world. And so on the one hand, Paul talks about the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of this age, and he draws a contrast with the wisdom of God. And this is the point at which he's going to show us that there is a wisdom that we desire. There is a wisdom we're to seek after, but it's not the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of this age. It's wisdom that comes from God and teaches eternal truth. And so this is important for him, and we need to understand what he's saying. He begins by reminding us of the limits of human wisdom. And one of the first things that he reminds us of is that human wisdom is temporal. It's temporary. It's only for a certain time. Among the mature, he says, we do impart wisdom, although not the wisdom of this age. Now, in the Greek, Paul starts this sentence with the word wisdom. It's emphatic. It's important. This is what he's going to talk about. He's already said, don't seek the wisdom of the world. Don't seek the wisdom of this age. But now he's going to say, wisdom we do impart. There is a true wisdom, a wisdom that you and I need to have, that people in Christ need to have. So he's not rejecting wisdom outright, but driving this contrast between a type of wisdom that doesn't help and a type of wisdom that does help. You see, the difference between human wisdom, human logic, human reason, human philosophy, human understanding, and the wisdom of God, as we've seen already, is that there is one major limiting factor to human wisdom, and that is no matter what it is, it does not lead you to know God in a saving way. That's the major problem with human wisdom. No matter who it is, no matter what they say, human wisdom will not lead you to a saving knowledge of God. Only God Himself can do that with His wisdom. And so he speaks about God imparting wisdom to the mature. And that word in some Bible translations is translated perfect. And it raises the question, is Paul saying here that there are two classes of Christians? That on the one hand, there are the guys who are perfect. These are really smart, super Christians. And on the other hand, there's everybody else, maybe babes in Christ, maybe whatever. And that Paul is saying there is this in group in the church, then we're going to talk to them, but we're not talking to everybody else. Well, no, he's not doing that. He's not driving that distinction. He's not making that at all. As you look at the context here, and especially the verses that will follow this, what you understand is Paul is talking about two groups, yes, but the two groups are those who are mature, who are in Christ, who are Christians, and therefore can receive the wisdom of God, and those who are apart from Christ, who are not Christians, who are natural men, who are unconverted, and they do not receive the wisdom of God. And so there are two groups, but it's Christians and non-Christians. And so the perfect or the mature are those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice also that the wisdom that Christians are called upon to accept, Paul says, is not the wisdom of this age. Now, think about how different the wisdom of this age is from the wisdom of God. Wisdom of this age depends on human reason. It depends on logic and understanding. But the problem with that is such wisdom changes day by day and from culture to culture and sometimes within the same culture. Just a few years ago, even non-Christians would have said homosexuality is deviant behavior and transgenderism is deviant behavior that needs to be addressed and corrected. You find that in textbooks a few years ago. And yet today we discover that not only is this acceptable behavior, but this is behavior that you ought to applaud, and this is behavior that needs to be promoted as being good. Shouldn't surprise us. The reason it shouldn't surprise us is we've read through Romans. We got to the end of Romans chapter 1. There are people who not only do wicked things, but applaud others who do wicked things. And so it should not surprise us that there are people in the world today who are doers of things that God says is wrong and want others to do the very same thing. When I was growing up, there was sort of this live and let live attitude, this idea of this is true for me, but it may not be true for you, but that's okay. I can hold my truth, you can hold your truth, and we're fine. There's sort of a detente. There's not any hostility there. Well, we've moved way past that today, folks. We've moved to the point where today, my truth is what's important, and you better get in line with it, or I'll beat you into the ground until you recognize my truth. That's the attitude that's taken by so many people today. Tolerance is what it's called. That's sort of newspeak. It's tolerance when you tolerate what I say and you shut up about what you believe. And that's this age. That's the way the age in which we live is defining good and evil, or actually calling evil good and good evil is what's happening. And it's all based upon human reason, human so-called wisdom. You see, God today is not just being ignored. He is being violently rejected by those who want to define themselves by their own ideas and their own feelings. We're children of the Reformation, and we believe that the five solas of the Reformation are expressions of what is found in Scripture. And one of those expressions is sola fide. We believe that we are saved by faith alone. Well, somebody recently said, there's only one sola in this age. There's only one sola today. And that sola is sola feels. It's what I feel that's important. It's how I feel. I define myself by my feelings. And you, like I said, you better get in line with my feelings because my feelings are right. Don't care about your feelings. Your feelings are wrong because my feelings are right. And that's the approach that's being taken today. I even read recently of a young college student who said that, he said, our generation is the most enlightened and intelligent generation that's ever lived on the face of the earth, and boy, are we going to change things. Now, the most charitable thing I can say about that is that's immature. Paul's speaking to mature Christians. He's talking to perfect Christians, mature Christians. The idea that you can ignore all of history and think you're smarter than anybody else who's ever come before you indicates you've never read history. Because, quite frankly, there are a lot of folks smarter than you and I are that have lived before us. And still, human wisdom is not the basis for our understanding of what genuine wisdom actually is. The problem with this is it's merely wisdom of this age. It's subject to change at any moment for practically any reason thought up by man. And so the wisdom that we need is not wisdom that is wisdom of this age or of any age. Let's not say we need to go back to the 1950s, or we need to go back to the 1770s, or we need to go back to the 1500s or 1600s. That still is not going to do any good. It's not wisdom of any particular age. It is the wisdom of God that is eternal. That's what we need. And so Paul goes on and talks about the problem with human wisdom, with the wisdom of this age, is it's going to pass away. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. One reason that human wisdom won't do is that both the age in which we live and all of our rulers, all of our thought makers, all of our influential people are doomed to pass away, Paul says. You see, this age is not eternity. It's not going to last forever. And the people of this age are not destined to continue to have any lasting influence. He says they are doomed to pass away. It's the same word that he used back in chapter 1, verse 28, when he said God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not. And here's the word: to bring to nothing things that are. So being doomed to pass away means that these folks and their thoughts are ordained by God to eventually come to nothing. It's hard for us to see that sometimes. We're caught up right in the middle of time and history. We're caught up right in the middle of everything that's going on. And if you get your news from Facebook, which I don't recommend that you do, but if you get your news from Facebook or even any of the major news outlets, it's depressing. And you can begin to think, man, this is really a horrible situation. It's almost like God's not in charge of anything. But the problem is we are short-sighted. And what we don't understand is the folks who are making news today, who are influencing how we think today, Paul says, are ordained by God to eventually come to nothing, and the things that they teach that are so influential today will someday not even be remembered at all. So we're caught up in all these things that we don't realize that as important as it seems right now, it's not going to have a lasting impact. There's a present tense verb, this doomed to pass away, present tense. And what he means by that is, guess what? God continually controls and rules over all of his creation. God's in charge of world history. God is on the throne of world history. God determines who lives and who dies. And what that also means is God determines how much influence they have and just how long that influence will last. So those folks that seem like they're winning the day right now, that seem to be in charge of so much, that seem to be able to get their way no matter what happens, God says that influence is doomed to pass away. He's working throughout history to do one major thing, and that is to cause his word to be triumphant. And therefore, what that means is worldly wisdom and all of the proponents of worldly wisdom will fail. God's word will be triumphant. Even if we don't see it at this moment, it will be. Look down at verse 8. This wisdom that God imparts to us by the Holy Spirit is wisdom that is beyond our human imagination. None of the rulers of this age understood this, Paul says. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul is talking about the rulers of his day, and he's talking probably primarily about such folks as Pilate and Caiaphas. the two men who were responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. Pilate representing the Roman Empire, the power of Rome as the governor, and Caiaphas representing the ruling religious elite of Judaism in Jesus' day. Those two guys were responsible for the death of Christ. And what Paul is saying is they didn't understand the wisdom of God, and if they had understood the wisdom of God, then why in the world would they have crucified Christ, who is wisdom itself? They would not have crucified the one who is the source of wisdom. What he's saying also applies to today and to any other age as well. It applies to all the influential men, all the thought leaders of society. It applies to worldly philosophers and rulers and leaders and kings of any kind. Now, what he's telling us is that by and large, those folks in the past and folks today do not understand the importance of the crucifixion of Christ. That's the whole context of what he's saying. The crucifixion is central. The crucifixion is something that you're not going to find in philosophy. The crucifixion is something that you're not going to find even in the revelation of God in nature. The crucifixion is something that God reveals. And the power of the crucifixion is something that God shows forth in Scripture. And so in the past, the rulers of Rome and the rulers of Judaism didn't know the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, and therefore they did not understand or know or comprehend the wisdom that Christ imparts. And so not knowing the wisdom of God, they killed the source of the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ. And notice also, just for those of you that are interested in this, this shows us that Christ is equal with the Father, very clearly. Go back to Psalm 24. A psalm that we sing often. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And here Christ is said to be the Lord of glory. So he is equal with his Father. But this section that we're looking at speaks of the limits of human wisdom. It talks about human eyes that cannot see and human ears that cannot hear and human hearts that cannot believe and understand. That's why I pray on a regular basis when we are ready to read the Word of God that God would give us eyes to see and give us ears to hear and give us hearts to believe and understand and through faith in Christ to obey. Because unless God gives that to us, we fit into this category. We can't see, we can't hear, we can't understand. God has to grant that to us. And so there are human eyes that cannot see. There are folks that search all over the place in all kinds of so-called religious books. There are people that make pilgrimages to Buddhist shrines and temples. There are folks who worship in pagan temples. There are people who go to mosques. There are people who buy all sorts of religious books and they search through them diligently, but they will never find in them the truth of God. Paul is saying that. Human eyes can't see it. No matter how far they look, no matter how much they look, they'll not find the truth of God in those things. Human ears cannot hear, he says. You can listen to all kinds of great speeches, debates. You can hear politicians pontificate, but you'll never find the unchanging wisdom of God in what they say. Matter of fact, if you actually compare a politician against himself, sometimes you'll discover that he's changed his view. Either over the years or perhaps over the weeks or over the days or over whichever crowd he happens to be talking to. You're not going to find unchanging wisdom there, listening to what men have to say. And human hearts cannot begin to imagine or comprehend or understand the wisdom of God. You can let your imagination run wild about all kinds of things. Now, I'm a science fiction buff. I like sci-fi novels. I love space operas. And yet, even if you think about mankind colonizing the universe, still you will never find eternal wisdom in such speculations. The one thing that's going to elude you in all of this is something that God has to reveal. And that's what Paul says is this glorious blessing that God has in store for his people, his children who love him. This blessing that is prepared for us in Christ. You will not find that in any place other than the Word of God. You will not find it anywhere except where God has revealed it to us. All the human wisdom, all the human searching, all the human study cannot reveal things unless God has revealed them to us. And so they can only be found when God reveals it, and they can only be found where God reveals it, and that's in Scripture. So what are the characteristics, what are the distinctives of this type of wisdom that God imparts to us? Well, verse 7 tells us three things about this. The first thing is, it is wisdom of God. That's what Paul says. We impart a wisdom of God. It comes from God. It's wisdom that is in line with his character and his nature. It's wisdom that fits perfectly with who God is because it comes forth from him. It's revealed by him alone. And therefore, it's not found by searching through human records. It's not found by searching through any books or philosophy tomes written by human beings. It comes from him, and that makes it unknowable unless he reveals it. And that's the second thing that Paul says. You see, this wisdom is secret and hidden. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. The word secret is the word mysterious. It's a mystery, which is in Scripture always something that you can't find out unless God reveals it. And the word hidden means something that's concealed. And so you could translate this, we impart a mysterious wisdom that has been concealed by God. That's what he's getting at. Concealed for a time, secret in ages past, kept secret by God in ages past, and only revealed to those to whom God revealed himself in his word. Just think about that. Throughout history, God was working to bring about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first coming. And to bring Christ as not only the Savior of the Jews, but also of Gentiles too. This is something that men could not find out unless God revealed it to them. And so it was a hidden wisdom that was inaccessible to anyone until God chose to reveal it to them. And its character, its nature is in line with all of the purposes of God himself. Paul's going to shortly, in a few verses that we're not going to look at today, tell us how it is the Holy Spirit who truly knows what this wisdom is, and it is the Holy Spirit who imparts that wisdom, helps us understand what that wisdom is as he reveals it to us in Scripture. The third thing that Paul says about the characteristic of this godly wisdom is it's designed, eternally designed, for our glory. And that's a shocker when you think about it. Eternally designed for our glory. The secret nature, the mysterious character of the wisdom of God is that it is found in the eternal decree of God to begin with. And so we are speaking of wisdom that was in the mind of God when there was no one but God alone. Think all the way back into eternity in the past before God ever created anything. It is wisdom that was in his mind alone at that point. How could anybody find out what that was unless God revealed it? There was nobody to search to begin with. And even if there had been somebody to search back then, how are you going to pick God's mind unless God reveals what he's thinking? And so long before anything was created, in the eternal plan of God, there is this incredible wisdom. And then God has ordained that wisdom to unfold throughout time to the very end. And so he's putting his eternal plans into motion. and they're not through yet. There is still yet the second coming of Christ. There is still yet the final resurrection and the judgment and the eternal kingdom yet to come. And so those plans are not fully revealed yet because they have not happened yet. He's still revealing his eternal decree. And there are things that we don't know yet because they haven't come to pass. Nobody in this room knows what heaven is like. People always ask. You'll run into somebody who will ask you, what's heaven like? And we have descriptions of things in Scripture, but they're just descriptions. That human words fall short of being able to truly describe heaven. And even beyond that, to describe the eternal kingdom, the new heavens and the new earth and the eternal kingdom, words fail us entirely. And so people who are in heaven know what heaven's like right now. We don't. But even people in heaven don't know what the eternal kingdom's going to be like because it hasn't happened yet. And therefore, there is this aspect of wisdom that has not been unfolded yet that we cannot see. And so this eternal decree of God stretches from his mind in eternity in the past before creation all the way to eternity in the future to things that have not yet occurred. And the decree has to do, this is astounding, with our glory. Catch that? We often speak about God's glory and our good when we talk about how God unfolds things. But Paul says it has to do with our glory. Our glory. Our glory has to do with what? It has to do with our eternal glory in the Lord Jesus Christ after the resurrection and the final judgment. What God has in store for us in the future that we cannot even begin to imagine. It has to do with what God is going to do for all of his people in the eternal kingdom in the future. And so this plan formed in the mind of God in eternity in the past, before he ever made anything, includes our glory in the future, in the eternal kingdom, which has not taken place yet. Things to come after the judgment. Wisdom from God stretches from eternity in the past to eternity in the future. Obviously, there is no human being who could ever find that out. No mere man could ever discover such things. No matter how long or how hard he searched, it can only be known as God reveals his truth and his wisdom to those whom he chooses to reveal it. So all of the wise men in the world searching throughout all of eternity could not ever even begin to discover the truths of God by their logic or reason or philosophy or learning. They would never come to an understanding of it. But those truths are revealed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Such things are revealed. Now, not everything's revealed. Remember, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. The things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may keep all the words of the law. And so there are some secret things of God, and maybe even in the future, maybe after everything is over with, there still will be some secret things that God will not reveal to us. That's okay. He's God. He can do that. And even if he did reveal it, I don't think we could even begin to scratch the surface of what it all means, even in the eternal kingdom. I don't think I'm going to be smart enough at that point to figure out everything about the mind of God, because he's God and I will never be, and you will never be. And so what he has revealed to us is found in the Word of God, and it's truth that has to do with his plan for us as believers, his plan for us that he thought up before he ever created anything, back in the past, in eternity, when he decreed it, and it has to do with what he's planning on doing for us in glory in the future. And we're not there yet. All of these plans are set upon our glory, Paul says, in Jesus Christ. And all we can say is what a wise and marvelous and all-powerful God we serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for Christ, your Son, our Savior. How we thank you for your wisdom. Lord, how we thank you that you have revealed it, and we see it in the pages of Holy Scripture, and your Holy Spirit gives us understanding of those things. And Lord, indeed you are a marvelous God, and you have revealed to your people your truth. And Father, now may we take that truth and put it into practice in our lives. Lord, may we seek to bring the gospel to bear upon all those around us, that you might open their hearts, give them eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too might repent and trust in Christ for salvation. Bless us to be about doing that and serving you, knowing that your plans are great plans. And astoundingly, they are plans that have to do with our glory yet to come. We pray that you would forgive us and that you would bless us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.